The future of sports radio starts now.
Half-assed podcast.
What is this?
That right there is a tale of corruption and intrigue, the likes of which are gonna rock this city.
Spin Doctor's Mix.
I taped over the Spin Doctor's Mix.
Baseball season now 2 full weeks in, and analysts are already talking about the small sample sizes, which, incidentally, works for baseball. It doesn't work for dating, but it's good for baseball. I know it's early. I know it's a marathon, not a sprint, but as I tweeted a while ago when the Twins were struggling, well, they're still struggling, but just because it's a marathon doesn't mean you should step in dog crap on the first quarter mile. But anyway, surely we can get something out of the games that have already been played. And here to discuss that with me right now is a friend of the Half-Assed Podcast. He is our first return guest. He writes Twin stuff for Twinkie Town and Fangraphs. He also does stuff for Bleacher Report. He knows his baseball. His name is Brandon Warren. Brandon, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it.
All right. I know you have a self-imposed Twitter blackout because you're a little disgusted with the overreaction theater going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to, and I've been pretty bad about it with the day games going on because I'm at work when those games are going on. But I've imposed a blackout where I will not tweet any time during a Twins game unless I'm covering it for the media. And so far, yeah, it's been good because I get a little tired with the magnification of every single thing that goes wrong in a baseball season on Twitter. And that's, I get that Twitter is a great tool for fans and to use as an interaction thing to talk to players. You know, you get to talk to Glenn Perkins on Twitter and maybe he'll return a tweet to you, or Brian Dunsing. But at the same time, with average fans having unprecedented access, with that comes responsibility, which seems to be kind of trailing behind, if you ask me. And I think that a lot of times people just say whatever they're thinking, hit the tweet button, and there's little to no repercussions. And
a lot of people actually like the fact that Twitter is just like that. I mean, I tell people that Twitter is best for me when it's just hit and run wisecracks of 140 characters or less. Just,
oh yeah, it's great for that, and people can use it for whatever they want to, but at the same time, sometimes people seem to take it just a bit too far. You'll find that with, like, when Kyle Williams of the 49ers had trouble with the NFC Championship game dropping the football.
Yeah, the death threats.
People were tweeting at him to kill himself. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Okay, I understand what you're talking about the sample size. You know, it's not the size of the sample, it's how hard you crunch the numbers, right?
Yeah, absolutely, but at the same time, there's just so little to go on yet. The season's just so new. I mean, they're, what, 2-7 right now, 9 games in. You're still less than, you know, one. I don't even know what the percentage would be, but it's less than 10% into the season.
They've won 22% of their games.
Oh, I mean, they're just less than 10% into the season, and you could have a 2-7 stretch in the middle of June right before going into the All-Star break, and nobody'd even know. But at the same time, you got to start seeing some positivity, and that's not really rearing its head right now.
There are positive things. There are some trends. I mean, I know it's early. Everybody says it's early. But some things you can see and you just know. You know the Tigers are going to win 100 games. They're looking really good. You know the Twins are going to have problems with their bullpen. I mean, that's obvious. I know that they're not going to blow every lead. But the way Perkins pitched today, for example, they had a lead going into the eighth inning. And I don't know if it's a whole Major League Baseball problem, because there's been a lot of teams that have had problems with their bullpens, or if it's a Twins thing that we can analyze as a team-specific problem. The clutch hitting is appalling, and I don't know if that's something that can turn around or if that's a mental thing or what. They have a real problem. Joe Mauer in particular, with a runner on third and less than two outs, has not done the job. And I don't know if that's overreacting or not, because he's done it more than once. It's not like you're looking at some isolated incident from one specific game. We're talking about over a whole week, he has consistently left that guy on third base. And he's the guy who needs to be bringing that runner in. How concerned are you about the clutch hitting?
I'm not entirely too concerned. At the same time, you got a guy like Justin Morneau hitting 206, not slugging, not really showing any semblance of discipline at the plate. Jamie Carroll's still struggling under the Mendoza line with his batting average, too. On-base is pretty nice for him, but at the same time, he doesn't have the on-base, or rather the extra-base power that's really going to drive his game to new levels. So what they really need to do is, the trickle-down has to come from Span, who's been absolutely sizzling to start the season. They need to start seeing a little bit more production out of Carroll, Mauer, Morneau, because between Span and Willingham, the two pillars of the offense so far, it's been basically a dark zone. And you can't operate an offense like that where you have just two guys producing and everyone else just kind of flailing around. Now, the pickup of Cleet Thomas is interesting, and he had quite a good game today, but that's more of a Band-Aid over a wound than it is really a regrowth of skin to really kind of be gross. But at the same time, they had to make a move somewhere, too, to make sure that Ben Revere could play every day. And I don't know. The offense has a lot of question marks. They have good players in position to do things, but at this point, no fewer than five or six of them are really, really floundering right now.
I think the outfield defense is a concern. We have too many DHs on the roster right now. Ryan Domann is a defensive liability. Josh Willingham, for all of what he's doing with the bat, is a defensive liability.
Yeah, I think that what we're going to find, though, is that it's not much different than having Kadire in one corner and Young in the other. And the Twins in 2010 were able to overcome that. At this point, you can get past offense, outfield defense when it's one of your only problems, but you can't put up with it when it's one of three problems, three gaping problems. They need to tighten up the defense in the infield, which I think is going to be much easier to do. They need to pick it up with runners in scoring position, and I think the bullpen is going to be okay. It's really going to boil down to how they manage the bullpen and what arms get used in what situations, because there's been some really puzzling usage statistics going on with this bullpen right now that I don't quite understand. And Jared Burton, for instance, should be used in higher leverage situations than he is, and instead they're going to Jeff Gray in a tie game and Glenn Perkins down two runs yesterday. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
But they had Perkins in his proper role today. Eighth inning, 3-1 lead.
Yeah, and he threw four strikes out of 10. I mean, your location struggle is fine, but at the same time, you're a left-handed flamethrower in to get probably the best left-handed hitter almost in all of the American League, if not all of the American League, and you can't do that. That's simply just not getting your job done for the day. And you know, you can have blips on the radar like that from time to time, but they're really magnified in the early season, and with a reliever and such small sample sizes, to use a buzz phrase again, you give up three runs and don't record an out, that can really mess up your ERA for maybe up to a month or two, as we saw with a guy like Jesse Crane back in 2010, whose season woes were magnified because he had an ERA like 9 going into June. So a lot of times you kind of have to be careful with reliever ERA, but with Perkins, it's going to look like he's been absolutely tattooed when, you know, he had a bad outing today and a bad outing yesterday, but he might still be nails the rest of the way. I'm not as worried about him as I am about if Gardenhire is going to put him in the situations to succeed. You have Matt Maloney coming out today to face Mike Napoli, for one, who absolutely terrorizes left-handed hitters. I just don't understand that, don't you? I mean, you got to have another righty ready, or Trot Burnett back out there to face him. I don't know. I mean, Burnett hasn't given up a run yet all season. And so usage patterns like that are going to be something to monitor when you have to consider platoon splits and putting your guys in a position to succeed, because some guys just aren't cut out for high leverage roles.
Nick Blackburn dodged a bullet. From what I heard, not supposed to miss a start.
Yeah, I've heard the same, and that it was just kind of a freak thing where I don't know if he felt a twinge or what exactly was going on there, but at the same time, if he did have to miss a start, it doesn't hurt the Twins at this point in the season to see what they have with another go-around with Swarzak. I think Hendricks is going to be the unsung guy in the rotation this year and might make the pain of letting Pavano go at the end of the year be a little bit harder, not harder, but easier to deal with. I think that Hendricks can do what he did today, silence probably the best offense in the American League, at least in my opinion. And they need to start getting looks at guys if they're going to determine this is a lost season, which I'm not ready to do yet, but the Twins brass might be thinking, yeah, 2-7 out of the gates, didn't really get off to a hot start. They're not going to put a lot of stock in, you know, maybe look to make a deal or anything. But you can let Blackburn kind of take his time to come back. You don't have to rush him back, because if he's feeling something in there, even if it isn't structural, you don't want it to become mental and have him spend the rest of the year favoring his shoulder to...
That'll affect his arm mechanics, and then he's not going to be able to throw strikes.
Yeah, precisely. Going forward, he might mess something up in his elbow or his forearm, and it might make it worse than it would have been in the first place.
All right. I have figured out how to fix the lineup with the Twins. It's actually minor. It helps them defensively, and it could help them offensively. Are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
This is something a little radical. Not too radical, though. If it happens, I want the credit, though. I'm not going to lie to you. First of all, you got to bring Brian Dozier up and put him in short.
Okay.
Got to get rid of Valencia. Guess who you put at third base?
I have no idea.
Josh Willingham plays third base.
You think so?
He was an infielder in college, played shortstop in college. Move him to third, bring Revere back, and put Revere in left field. You've solved the defensive outfield problem. Revere's got better range and arm strength, not so much important in left field as it is in right. You keep Willingham's bat in the lineup. You get rid of Valencia's bat, and you've got another speedy guy in Revere. You could put at the bottom of the lineup, have like a second leadoff hitter.
So do you move Carroll to second and bench Casilla, or what do you do?
You keep Carroll, but as a utility guy. I don't see Jamie Carroll being anything other than just a stabilizing veteran influence in the clubhouse. I don't think he's going to contribute that much with the bat. Carroll's good with the walks right now. I just think instead of sending Revere to AAA to get playing time, they have to figure out a way to get him playing time in the majors.
Yeah, I mean, that may be worth taking a look at. I think that there's a good chance.
I mean, it's a little revolutionary, moving Willingham to third, but you've moved shortstops to third. They've never played third. I think he's terrible in the outfield. I'm sorry, but there's one specific play I keep thinking about. I'm not talking about something where he butchers a fly ball. This was something basic. I think it was Wednesday night, one of the Anaheim games. There was a runner on third, and fly ball was hit to him, and he just stood there, flat-footed, and caught the ball before he threw it. He didn't get any kind of forward momentum going towards the throw. It was just he's got terrible range out there in left field. We got to figure out another place to put him, and we can't put him at DH. Too many DHs as it is. You have to find a place other than left field for Josh Willingham, and I think you could get away with putting him at third base, especially if you're willing to get rid of Valencia, which a lot of people are.
I think they might, if a good offer came around, they may be as well. I think what's going to happen is Morneau's going to test out of first base coming up in this next upcoming road trip, and you may see a lot more of Domet at DH, and he's an even worse fielder than Willingham. And I think we'll see Dozier up in May. I think that's going to be a move that's going to be swift and severe to kind of get Alexi Casilla either out of the lineup or serving as kind of a utility guy to swap in and out there. But I think that what will end up happening is they'll move Carroll to second, where he's a superior option at second than he is to short. He's been a much better defensive second baseman. And I think they'll shuffle it around that way. But at the same time, if you want to save your season, you might have to try something drastic.
Are you concerned about Joe Benson? I heard that they're talking about moving him to Double A. When you piggyback the Revere to Triple A move with moving Benson to Double A, because I remember before we were doing our preview, we were talking about possible at bats at the major league level for Joe Benson, and now all of a sudden they're talking about that he's not hitting Triple A well, and they got to send him back down to New Britain. I mean, is that a concern for you?
I think they'll give him at least a month in Triple A because, at the same time, when he was in Double A, he did have to go back to Fort Myers for a little bit. I think it was about 100 plate appearances, and get his swing back. And they did the same thing with Parmalee, basically at the same exact time. I think what you're going to find with Benson is he needs to really master the Triple A level. He's basically done all he can do in Double A. Had an 883 OPS there last year. I think that they don't really have the outfield depth in Triple A, even with Mastroianni coming over from New Britain, and even with guys like. But what you're seeing is with guys like Dinkelman and Tassoni injured, you got to keep Benson up there anyway. But I think with Benson, they'll let him fight his way out of this slump and won't rush anything with him just because they know that eventually he's going to be the heir apparent to right field. He's going to be the next long-term right fielder on this team.
You've seen this 2-7 start. I know how you are about overreactions, small sample sizes and everything. Do you think the problems with the Twins are things that are automatically going to be righted just by giving it more time? Or do you think that there are things that need to be done, example being the hitting coach?
No, I don't think any wholesale changes need to be made. I think you have to give it till May 1st at a bare minimum to let some of the things shake out in terms of evening out. You have fast starts that get cooled off or cold starts that heat up a little bit. But there's certain guys that you have to monitor, and there's certain guys that get a longer leash than others. As far as the hitting coach, in my view and in the view of a lot of people, the hitting coach is basically just a psychologist, and basically what he does is he just tries to keep the players up in terms of mentality, find some tendencies, find some hitches, find some things they can tweak. But ultimately, a hitting coach's value is really more in just being there to listen and to chat, and I don't think that a hitting coach is really worth all that much, to be honest with you, but at the same time, somebody might be the fall guy. The Twins haven't been known to making rash decisions. After all, Tom Kelly managed from 1993 to 2000 with teams that lost 90-plus games with the exception of like one or two of those years. So, again, the Twins, that's why firing Bill Smith was such a crazy decision, because the Twins are kind of like a country club, so to speak, and for better or worse, you know, you have the job security, but at the same time, they don't really make waves, and that's kind of why it feels like they've stagnated a bit here in the last year plus. And I don't think that the hitting coach will be the guy to take the fall, but at the same time, I do kind of wonder how long they'll have to go into the season before they do shake something up.
I read somewhere that the Pollad sons, not so much Jim, but the other one, can't think of his name off the top of my head, but they're not as patient as Carl was. So you may see quicker hooks.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Bill Pollad. Is that the other one?
I know Jim is the main managing partner of the Twins, and I think Bill is the one that makes the movies.
Then there's Robert.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
the next generation of Pollads may not be, I mean, you may be seeing a new era in Twins management because you're having the younger generation come in, and they're traditionally not as patient as the more mature executives are.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that either, because there's a lot of turnover in baseball on the whole, and at some point, you can't just be thrilled with being there. At some point, you have to be the team that takes action and makes changes, because you got a big stadium that's brand new that you got to fill every night to basically vindicate pulling public funding for. And I don't know. I don't think they'll let the Twins be as bad as they were last year for the whole season before they start making moves. But I don't think they're going to do it 2 weeks into the season. But it might be a month. It might be 6 weeks into the season. And even then, typical Twins fans will sort of feel like that's pretty fast. But it seems to me like the average Twins fan is really, really down on this team.
I think a lot of that is because of last season, but also specific examples of this year, not to micromanage things, but the way that the ball has trickled off the bat in Baltimore. I mean, you very rarely saw a solidly hit baseball from a Twins hitter during the whole Baltimore series, and then they've had a hard time keeping the lead when playing Anaheim and Texas, and the clutch hitting, 13 double plays already they've grounded into this season. Actually joked on Twitter it was going to get so bad that they were threatening the record of the St. Louis Browns from 1941 for most LOBs by one team in a season. You got to score the runs. I think the clutch hitting is part of the problem with the bullpen, because if the Twins could have gotten another run or two in today, then you're looking at a 4-1 game as opposed to a 3-1 game. There's a little more margin of error for the bullpen.
Well, I think you can find positives in everything. I mean, after all, the Rangers and Angels might be two of the four best teams in the entire league, and double plays are basically a thing of circumstance. You have to have guys on, just like driving guys in is the same thing. If the Twins can continue to litter the bases and they enter today fourth in the American League on base, fourth in batting average, but they are 11th in slugging. So basically what that's saying is single, 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 and then strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. They're not driving anybody in. They're not driving the ball. So with the exception of Josh Willingham, you're not seeing guys do much other than singles, or as the case of the Baltimore series, it seemed like it was squibbers, comebackers, and just routine ground balls to J.J. Hardy and Robert Andino. It was just kind of painful to watch.
In your mind, you said earlier about some people are going to get a little longer leash than others. Who on this current roster? I'm thinking someone like Chris Parmalee, for example. Does he get a longer leash, or is he somebody that he's about ready to head to Rochester if he doesn't pick it up?
I think he's a pretty short leash. He's kind of on a taxi squad because only he and Revere, among integral personnel on the offensive side, have options left. So I think when you see Jason Marquis activated, if the Twins are going to need an extra bullpen pitcher and need to send down a position player, you really have no choice but to send down Parmalee and roll with a short bench for a couple days, especially as they wait to see what's going on with Blackburn. Because even though he says he's not going to miss a start yet and there's no structural damage, if he can't go and says he can't go, they're going to have to do a DL stint. And you still got to activate Kyle Waltrip at some point, too. And so that probably means that Alex Burnett goes back to AAA. But in the terms of the number of guys on the current 25-man roster that still have options left, Trevor Plouffe out of options, Luke Hughes out of options, and then you go to the bullpen, I'm not entirely sure the scenarios, because bullpen guys are kind of weird. But you're not going to send back a guy like Jarrett Burton, at least not if you know what's best for your club.
Now, something that I'm starting to hear, some rumbling, might be overreaction, but these things don't exactly announce themselves ahead of time. Mauer and Morneau, they're kind of giving off a vibe that they might be done. And by that, I mean they're not the same players that they were when they won the MVPs. Are they done, or are we just not seeing them get in a groove soon enough? Because they kind of look like they might be done. I hate to say that. I mean, I'm big fans of theirs, and they're the franchise guys, the M&M boys. They're both under 30, but they just don't look, they play like they're a lot older. And am I the only one seeing this? Is this something that I should be concerned about, or am I just hallucinating?
Well, with Mauer, I'm not entirely concerned because he's still keeping the good walks, the strikeout rate, and all that. And he seems to be driving the ball hard, just like he always has, right to second base, right to shortstop. And eventually, I think his bat's going to come around. He's been in every game so far, and the slugging is not really there, but he's taken a few walks. The strikeouts are a little more concerning because it seems like he's striking out a little bit more frequently than I think we're used to, about once every six at-bats rather than about 10 like he usually does. With Morneau, I'm not entirely sure. He seems to be just a changed hitter at the plate. It seems like he goes up there without a definite plan. He's basically swinging at whatever. And the biggest thing with that was when he came up with the bases loaded, I believe it was yesterday, chance to get a guy on the ropes, a lefty reliever, and I believe he took a ball and then swung at the first pitch that was close and popped it up to third base. And it's at some point you have to be self-aware enough to know that in a lefty-lefty matchup, you haven't played competent baseball in a year and a half. At what point do you take a strike and rather than be the hero, try to drive something either the other way or just back up the middle for a two-run single instead of trying to drive the ball out of the ballpark? Now, I'm not saying that's what he tried to do, but it would have been nice to see a little more of a semblance of discipline at this point because he's not driving the baseball with the exception of a home run and a couple of doubles. He just hasn't looked his old self, and it is fair to wonder if that's ever going to come back.
I'm more concerned about the at-bat he had yesterday. Two on, nobody out, and if you're going to rally in the ninth, that's the spot where you, as a former MVP and one of the franchise guys, you've got to come through.
Oh, right. Yeah, that wasn't a good one either, and it's just at some point, he's got to show a sign of life because you're paying him $14 million to do that. Now, is maybe he's struggling to adjust to the designated hitter role? That's a possibility, and that's why I think they may give him a chance to play a little first base here in the Yankees series or maybe in the Tampa Bay series. But at this point, Gardenhire's kind of got to be pulling his hair out, whatever's left up there, that he can't seem to push any of the right buttons at this point because the guys just aren't responding the way they need to.
I think some of it's a mental aspect, especially the part about the anti-clutch hitting. All the runners left on base. They stranded the bases loaded three times on Saturday. That's got to be a mental thing. They might be trying too hard because you know you're playing a quality team like the Rangers. It's one of those things where at some point you just have to have that disconnect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just go out there and play ball and let what happens happen rather than worry about getting injured or how good the team is against you or anything like that.
Dear Mr. Patient, how long do we have to wait before the Twins rebound from this? Probably not for the next few days because they're going to Yankee Stadium. But at what point do you see a team that's going to justify your pick of 84 wins this season?
I think sometime between the end of this month and early next, you see Kansas City comes to town. They go to Seattle, go play Toronto, who's going to be tough. But then they got Cleveland. Once they start playing the division games, maybe a little interleague with Milwaukee coming up in May, start to see things brightening up a little bit. I think that basically 84 wins was before Scott Baker went down. You figure he's about a three-win pitcher in terms of WAR.
Mm-hmm.
I think 500 is about fair at this point. And I felt good about just about every game the Twins have been in so far. And basically the second game they lost by six runs. Other than that, they've only lost by 4-3, 1-1, 4-2, and 2 runs. So,
they've been in games. It's the clutch hitting,
yeah,
though. That's the part, yeah, that really gets me, is the clutch hitting.
I think that'll come around.
You are right about the division, though, because I look at the AL Central, and you have the Tigers, and this 2 through 5 spots, I think any of the other four teams can take any of the other slots in the division. The Tigers are probably going to win the division by, like, 20 games. The Twins can get to the 85-win mark, as I predicted, simply off other division games. Because Cleveland, Kansas City, and the White Sox really aren't much better than Minnesota right now. They're all kind of in the same boat, and it depends on who plays the best against each other. It's going to determine who finishes second in the AL Central.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm not even that high on Detroit because they can't play outfield in the defense just like the Twins.
They can mash it.
They can mash it, but they can't play any defense. You don't know what you're getting past Verlander because Scherzer and Pfister are nice, but beyond that, it's, you got guys that are putting the ball in play against a defense that can't help but fall over itself. Did you see the Delman Young play in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
He did a pirouette and then dropped it. I mean, that's Delman Young baseball right there. And I love Austin Jackson in center field, but their offense, beyond Cabrera and Fielder, I'm not in love with really any other guy on that team.
Yeah, but they're going to get fat off the division, too. The same reason I say the Twins can finish second because of the division is the same reason the Tigers are going to win 100 games. because they're going to get fat off the AL Central.
Well, I would take the under on 100, but they're going to win the division by 10 games.
Brandon Warren, what are you working on for Twinkie Town right now? Anything we should go check out right away?
I'm sort of hoping to go down to Target Field here in the next couple weeks, maybe get my first interview in the books. With Twinkie Town, basically, I just do whatever is, however I feel inspired, because if I plan in advance, the way this goes, if I plan something tonight and write something for Wednesday, the Twins might win two games in the meantime, and it would be totally different. So
yeah.
At the same time, it's basically however I'm inspired, and so if I record for my podcast on Tuesday night, I usually write something late that night before and hope it's still good in the morning with the way baseball is kind of volatile.
All right. It was a pleasure talking to you again, and hope the Twins turn it around. We'll see. Long season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a long season, and it's fun no matter what happens.
Brandon, you're absolutely right, and I think they're going to play spoiler for someone this year.
Oh, yeah.